About a week ago, my wife and I went to The Rep, which we do quite often because we have been subscribers to the Main Stage series and the Studio Theater series and even the Ignite series that they're doing in just a few weeks, where they read new plays. So we've seen every level of production that they've done there over the years. And the show that we saw this time was a remarkable production, one of the best I've seen there or, frankly, anywhere. When we walked out, my wife said, "This is why we go to the theater." The show is called Faceless, and it's so good, I've invited the two women who star in it to join me here today. Suzanne Jamshidi. Hi, Susan. Suzanne,
hi.
How are you?
Good.
And Lindsay Stock is here as well. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi.
Hi. Pleasure to have both of you in the studio today.
Thank you.
Lindsay, since your character is one of the two central characters in this play, tell the audience who she is.
So I play Susie Glenn, who is an 18-year-old young woman whose mother has recently passed away. And she's having a very difficult time in coping with that. And in sort of her loneliness and her grief, turns to a man that she meets online who she falls in love with. But he is a member of ISIS. And so she sort of becomes entrapped in that ideology and that way of thinking, and decides that she wants to go to Syria and fight for ISIS.
Okay. On the other side, the other main character in this is the one you play, Suzanne. Who's she?
I play Claire Fothy, and she is an American born daughter of immigrants. Her father's from Iran, mother is from France, and she works in the federal prosecutor's office, Harvard educated attorney who is sort of thrust into this opportunity by a federal prosecutor named Scott Bader, who wants her to argue this case against Susie, and he picks her. And she's a little bit resentful at first that he picks her because she knows he's doing it because she wears hijab.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's a practicing Muslim woman who wears a hijab, and he doesn't want to be looked at as a bully, prosecuting this case against this young, innocent-looking, you know, white girl.
Mm-hmm.
And so he chooses Claire because he knows that she will look the part. But really, she's a very intelligent, passionate woman. She is a devout Muslim, and she doesn't want Susie to be the face of Islam to America. She wants to fight this case because she wants to show America what a real Muslim woman is, and she wants to, you know, prosecute ISIS.
It's very interesting to see the way you play her, because that reluctancy at first turns into a ferocity not long after, once she realizes, okay, I am going to do this, and you turn it on.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful.
Yeah. He says Scott Bader says a couple times, and he's like, you know, you're full of rage. She sort of resents that a bit. But yeah, she's fighting for a conversation we have a lot in America and around the world, is this sort of misconception of Islam, a misconception of what a Muslim is. And those, I think one of the lines I say is that, you know, the media already conflates Islam and terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something that every day real Muslims who are fighting, you know, against that stereotype. And so she takes that under, you know, she personally has this mission to, like, really, like, get Susie convicted.
Right.
Because she is very resentful that she is portraying this to people in the United States and around the world.
Right. And where Claire has worn the hijab her whole life, Lindsay, your character Susie, has worn the hijab, what, 4 months?
Yeah, she converted 4 months.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. Do you think she's really interested in the culture, or is she just interested in the boy?
I think a little bit of both. And obviously at first, you know, her introduction to Islam is this false Islam, you know, as Suzanne said. And I think initially... it's a lot about this man that she's met, and she's falling in love and in love with the idea of what he represents, and that she can feel less alone by being a part of something larger than herself. And I think throughout the play, though, as she realizes that she has been massively duped and is so wrong in her thinking, I think and I hope that, you know, she finds maybe a truer sense of the faith.
So there's that naivete at the beginning. Mm-hmm. She doesn't realize she's been suckered. Mm-hmm. She really believes this because she wants to believe it. She wants to be accepted.
Mm-hmm.
She's desperate for that, right?
Yeah. And to, like I said, to be a part of something bigger. Her grief, you know, this is the first person who has reached out to her and made her feel stronger and less alone in that grief. But it's a really horrible thing that she becomes a part of.
Now, this production of Faceless at the Rep essentially has the entire Chicago cast and crew brought down here to do it. You both did this at the Northlight Theater in Chicago a year ago, right?
Yes. There's only one new cast member, Michael James Reed, who is an amazing local actor, plays Scott Bader.
Mm-hmm.
And our director, BJ Jones, who's the artistic director of Northlight, he came and directed us here as well. But the our stage manager, everybody else, the crew, is local.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So having done this before, when you get the call that, hey, we're going to put on a production of this in St. Louis, is that exciting to you? Oh, I get to go and explore this character some more?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a really awesome opportunity we've been given. I love playing this part. I remember on opening night being backstage and thinking, you know, I have so much fun playing Claire because she is, you know, a ball of fire and so passionate and, you know, she's, you know, funny and no holds barred. And it's just really a great opportunity. And also, you know, I get to wear amazing costumes. Izumi Inaba, our costume designer, is phenomenal. And she gives me some really high heels and some, you know, sexy outfits to wear. So
yeah.
I love it.
And they're power outfits at the same time.
Power outfits. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I was thrilled to hear that we were coming.
Yeah. And it is a play that is so current. It's dealing with issues that are in the news that we are having discussions about right now. And so the way that it's resonating now, certain lines, certain scenes and moments are hitting differently than they did even just a year ago. Mm-hmm. When we did this. And so it's wonderful to have the opportunity to revisit that and retell the story.
No, I'm always concerned with process. I love stories of process. So I'm curious, when you heard, oh, they're going to do it in St. Louis and they'd like you two to do the same parts again, do you have to go, all right, I have to find my script because it's been 10 months since I played this role?
No. I think I did have them send it to me, but then I actually forgot to bring it with, like, look, I didn't actually get a chance to look at it before we got here, and I forgot to bring it with me. So I just had them leave the script in my housing here. And I think we both, Lindsay and I both talked about how we just started the first day and it all sort of came back to us.
Yeah. And I wanted to make sure that it was fresh coming back, that it mm-hmm. didn't feel like I was just, you know, kind of redoing the motions of a year ago. So I wanted to really come in fresh and clean with fresh eyes. And so, yeah, same day. It was like, first day, all right, mm-hmm. here we go.
Oh, yeah, I remember this. Yep. Then I walk over here and you mm-hmm. say that. Then I go cross. Okay. So yeah. All the blocking is the same or?
No, we did change some blocking because it's a different space. It's a thrust space, meaning there's like there's more audiences on the sides, mm-hmm. and it is similar in Northlight, but the Northlight Theater was a much bigger theater, and the seating arrangement was configured in a different way that there weren't so many people right on the sides. So mm-hmm. we had to do a little adjusting for that. But yeah, and when we had the script in front of us on our first day and we were reading it, and she didn't make big changes, but she did make little changes here and there that I think are really quite good. Just like a little sentence here and there that we were like, that's new, isn't it? That wasn't there before.
Oh. So Selena Fillinger, the playwright, when you were going to do this production, she went back and she said, let me get my script. I may have some things to change.
Mm-hmm. Not a lot, but mm-hmm. just like a sentence here and there, but really, really intelligent changes.
Small tweaks
that mm-hmm. sort of hit home a little harder, I think.
Had it been produced anywhere else between Chicago and St. Louis?
Yes, there was a production in Boston.
Okay.
Of the play as well.
So is this for her a work in progress?
I believe that she is.
Whether or not she's going to make any changes, I don't know about that. I don't know if she had. She didn't have the opportunity to come to St. Louis to work on it here. Mm-hmm. So I know she's working on another play right now that just had a reading at the Roundabout, and I think might be going down to the Alley Theater in Texas. I'm not sure. I don't want to speak for that because I'm not really up on that.
Sure.
But
okay.
But definitely, like, she has other things in the works right now. So whether she's going to change this show, I'm not sure.
Okay, so who's jealous of this woman? She's 22 years old. And she's already had this play produced Chicago and St. Louis. And she's got another thing in production at the Roundabout.
Yeah.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. She's really great to work with. She's very present. She's really She listens and is willing to make adjustments where they're needed. But she's also, you know, strong enough in her convictions as to what play she wants to produce that she can also, you know, voice her her opinions on what she wants.
And it's rare that you see that kind of balance, especially in someone who's so young, who can stand up for what the story that they want to tell and what they feel is important, but also is so collaborative in the room.
And do you think that her age makes it easier for her to write the character that you play, Susie, since it's an 18-year-old character and she's not much older than that?
Maybe. That might have helped. But, you know, Susie, I think, she's a tough one to empathize with, even still. But Selena, you know, I think writes all the characters so beautifully. I think she said her favorite character to write was actually Scott Bader, the prosecutor, because he has so many just cutting lines. And I think she really enjoyed writing for him.
And so does Susie's attorney, Mark, who's played by Ross Lehman. And we should mention the other member of the cast is Joe Dempsey, who plays Susie's father. They're both terrific as well. How do you play a character where the audience is not going to empathize with her? You have to try to act like she's empathetic in some way, don't you?
Yeah. I think in some ways you try and forget about it. I really tried to personally understand where she's coming from and understand the pain and the hurt and portray that as truthfully and honestly as possible and hope that that brings out in the audience, that they just naturally do find that. And in seeing that, that they find a way to empathize with her and feel for her.
When you get a role like this, do you think to yourself, oh, I know this woman? Or do you have to do some research and figure out who is this woman?
It's not based on a true story, but there was a young woman in Colorado who did try and go to Turkey, I believe. And so looked at that a little bit. But so much of it, I think, is just understanding. I think everyone can understand what it feels like to be alone, to grieve, and to want to find companionship and love.
I think it's an interesting question as well for people watching the show is, do you feel the same? Would you feel the same way, or what would your opinion be if instead of a young white teenage girl, you saw a young person of color in that same position? Does your initial opinion about their guilt change? Does your initial opinion about how they should have behaved or reacted change? And that's something that, you know, we haven't really had any talkbacks at the theater, but that is something that I find an interesting question to pose.
Also would be a very different play if this were a male character.
Certainly.
Instead of an 18-year-old guy, instead of an 18-year-old woman, that's a completely different dynamic because now people are going, oh, of course he's going to join ISIS.
Exactly.
But this 18-year-old blonde woman, teenager, you know.
Who seems sweet and well-intentioned.
So that's like I don't know, it's just like something for people to think about regarding their own, you know, innate opinions about the world, how that affects their vision of the story.
Let's put Claire and Susie aside for a second and talk about Suzanne and Lindsay. Are you both Chicago actresses?
Yes.
You both live there?
Mm-hmm.
What's that life like? Is there enough work?
Oh, yeah. It's a great life in Chicago. I think any actor usually has to have some sort of side gig.
You've been the waitressing route, I'm sure.
Oh, sure.
I hate waitressing. I'm very bad at it. I'm a nanny, actually, and I have a very lovely family who is super supportive and very flexible with me, and I have a really great group of subs who take care of the children while I'm off doing things like this.
So when you're preparing for the show, do you have to tell the kids, I'm going to be in the other room, and if you hear me yelling about Islam and terrorism, don't worry, that's just my other job.
No, I try not to take up too much nannying time with acting time. But I've been doing a little FaceTiming with the kiddos.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice to maintain that while in the four weeks that you're here, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. But Chicago is rich with arts, and I think it's a great place for any actor to be. There's wonderful theater. There's also a lot of television shows filming there and a lot of films there as well.
In fact, speaking of television, you both have Chicago PD in common.
Yes.
Not the same episode,
though. No. Yeah.
So when a TV show comes to town, are they based in Chicago, or are you doing?
They film Chicago PD in Chicago. They film Empire in Chicago.
Chicago Fire, Chicago Med, mm-hmm. all of those.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They were filming The Exorcist there. I'm not sure if that's. I think The Exorcist has moved to. I think each season's going to be in a different location, but their first season was in Chicago.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's really great because you get to Chicago's a wonderful way to sort of. You can do a little bit of theater. You can do a little bit on camera. Kind of do a little bit of a lot of things. It's really great.
And you can go out and do repertory theater in St. Louis.
Exactly.
And you can. Which and is... it's much more affordable than living in New York.
will the two of you travel with this show to other places where they want to put it on?
We have to wait and see if that happens. I would be, in.
Be game.
Mm-hmm. I'd be game.
You could see this as a long-term thing?
I don't know that there are plans for that, but I'm happy to have the opportunity to be back at it and would welcome any opportunity to take another crack at the script.
Well, I hope a lot more people will go see it because, as I said, we were stunned with happiness as we were walking out. And I'm not going to give the ending away, but I thought the ending was perfect. So it's really a fantastic show. It's called Faceless. It's going to be at the Rep through February 4th, which is Super Bowl Sunday. Will you be off stage before the game starts?
Ooh,
I don't know. Is that a matinee that day?
I think we have a two-show day, so we might miss it.
Wow. Have somebody set the DVR.
Yeah.
Okay.
You'll be fine. But between now and then, plenty of people can go and see the show. There are tickets available at repstl.org. The show is Faceless. This is Suzanne Jamshidi and Lindsay Stock. Thank you so much for coming in and talking to me today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.